Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday today. We actually have quite a bit of sun out and not a whole lot of chemtrails. Weather's kind of nice. It's hot, but it's Florida and it's fantastic. So it's a good, blessed day. And how are you doing today, Dev?
This is the day the Lord had made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. And, you know, last week I had read about McMaster's, General McMaster's, Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, working for a think tank that was basically funded by George Soros over in England. And quite frankly, I thought it was bogus news. This is a week ago I found this out. And I almost broke it on the show last Wednesday or Thursday out of Greece. And I thought, no, this just sounds so far-fetched. This can't be real. It can't be real. I mean, this is one of these stupid spoof things that I've got, so I don't want to give this out until I verify it. And quite frankly, I was on vacation. I was in Greece. I didn't have as much time to do my research, so I didn't bother with it. And sure enough, I should have broke it last week. We've been the first to break it, like we did with Rodney Howard Brown and the Trump thing and the prayer in the office and all that, because this guy was born in 1962. If you pull up his Wikipedia file, it says right in his Wikipedia file he elected to take an entire year off and work for a think tank in England. And the problem with this is it doesn't bother to tell you that this think tank in England is basically a George Soros-funded operation. So he went to work for almost an entire year and retained his military rank for this think tank, and then he basically then was appointed as the National Security Advisor under Trump. Now, let me tell you what the National Security Advisor is. The Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs, commonly referred to as the National Security Advisor, or at times informally termed the NSC Advisor. It is a senior aide in the Executive Office of the President, based on the West Wing of the White House, who serves as the Chief In-House Advisor to the President of the United States. This is where Flynn used to be, on national security issues. The National Security Advisor is appointed by the President and does not require confirmation of the Senate, but he did require confirmation because he wanted to maintain his ranking as Lieutenant General, as a three-star general, so the Senate had to reconfirm his military rank and let him go in as a military officer. So it's kind of interesting that this guy now is getting busted all over the place with Breitbart and everything else about who he worked for. In fact, one of the lead stories on Breitbart is McMaster worked at a think tank backed by George Soros-funded group that helped Obama sell the Iran nuclear deal. This is an article out of Tel Aviv. It says the White House National Security Advisor served in this think tank from September to 2006 to February 2017. McMaster is listed as a member of this International Institute for Strategic Studies out of London, where he served as consulting and senior fellow. It describes itself as a world-leading authority on global security, political risk, and military conflict. The IISS has been supportive of the Obama administration to broker 2015 nuclear accord with Iran and pushed it through with this man. McMaster himself has been accused of purging the National Security Council of hardliners on Iran, and he is seen as a leading proponent of the Iran nuclear accord within the Trump administration. And he has reportedly urged the White House to recertify Iran's compliance with the Iran nuclear deal. Now, this whole thing gets really, really squirrely here because Soros is funded through the Rothschild Group in England. They set him up. The Rothschild Group also wants to have, you know, the whole thing with Iran come falling apart, and they want basically the U.S. to attack Iran. And now this guy is coming saying that he does not want to attack Iran. He wants them recertified, and now he's being linked to George Soros, which we know basically is funded MoveOn.org. So this is a convoluted mess. And quite frankly, none of it makes any sense, except for now that they're also saying that there's a good probability that he is the mole, the leak from the White House. Now, if that is true, he basically needs to be terminated as the National Security Advisor, and Trump needs to bring somebody else in, or he could be getting set up right now because people may be saying this about him, and he may not be loyal to George Soros, and he may be wanting to do things without going to war with Iran, and that's why he wants Iran recertified. So it's going to be an interesting thing as we watch this, but guys, what we can't do is jump to conclusions on this right now because he may not have done anything, and he may not have been the leak. So it may be one of these deals they're just trying to basically find him as a scapegoat because he's interfering with attacking of Iran and the continued takeover of countries in the Middle East, and they don't want him there anymore. So now they're coming up with bogus stuff about him leaking stories to the press, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. But I want to give you guys an update on what's going on now. I try not to get involved in a lot of this stuff until I can figure out what's happening, but it's one of those deals. What do you think is going on, Oz? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't. I mean, I know a lot of obfuscation always hits the media. I just remember back when there was that issue with Benghazi and they started purging some of the upper-ranking officials and the generals and all those guys. I still remember the story about one of the top naval officers that got busted and basically dishonorably discharged for being in possession of counterfeit poker chips.
Right.
And you hear stuff like that, and you kind of go, really, really, guys? Is that really what's going on here? You found him with a couple $100 in counterfeit poker chips, so he's basically being stripped of all of his rank. He's being, you know, court-martialed, essentially, in a dishonorable discharge. No, I don't buy it. So I don't know if this guy really is the leak. If he is, he needs to get the boot immediately. But his dad said this could be something they're trying to do as obfuscation to put the blame on him. That way they can go about invading Iran, because as I've said numerous times, Iran and North Korea are the two last large countries in the entire world that do not have some type of reserve bank control over them. And they're completely independent, and they're usually backed by some type of asset such as gold or precious metals. So we'll see what's going to go on there. I saw more saber-rattling again about North Korea's planning on nuking Guam or some other nonsense today. I have no idea. You got to remember, guys, a lot of this stuff, it's all fear-mongering. That's what a lot of it is. If is it going to happen? Could it happen? Maybe. Is there anything that you or I are going to be able to do about it if North Korea decides to set off a missile somewhere or nuke some country somewhere? No, there's absolutely nothing I can physically do about it right now. So getting and jumping in the corner and sucking my thumb and shaking uncontrollably and being scared that something possibly is going to happen is a complete and total waste of time. So I just kind of like to look at the facts and look at more stuff that we can control, like our health and trying to control our Congress, which need to be controlled significantly.
Purged.
And different. Yeah, purge, that's a better word for it.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there. But good story down here in Florida, firearm story, which you guys know I love talking about these. Sunday afternoon, broad daylight, up in over in Pinellas County, which is right up the road from us, Publix parking lot. Basically, a witness saw a 49-year-old Bobby Martin Watson trying to rob a woman at knife point in the Publix parking lot. The 44-year-old woman was struggling with Watson, and he stabbed her. Watson then ran, and a witness, 44-year-old Christopher McMahon, approached Watson, who's the thief and the stabber, and he got stabbed as well, trying to stop this guy. Then another good Samaritan, 31-year-old Travis Jones, then chased and tackled Watson, only to be stabbed in the abdomen multiple times during the struggle that ensued. 40-year-old Donald Russ saw what was happening, drew his pistol from his vehicle and ran at Watson. He was actually able to kick the knife out of his hand, and he held Watson at gunpoint until deputies arrived, and he did not even fire his gun. The simple sight of him drawing his weapon and pointing it at this Watson individual and brandishing his firearm was enough to stop the attack dead in its tracks. The Watson individual is now facing charges of armed robbery with three counts of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon with intent to do harm. So this is something right now where a firearm, simply just by itself, an inanimate object that didn't even have to be discharged, nobody even died from the gun whatsoever, a bullet was never even shot, stopped this guy from stabbing anybody else after he had already stabbed basically three people. So this is a good story. It's something that it's sad that people got stabbed. I really am unfortunate for them. But this goes to show you guys why you should always have some type of deadly force in your possession. Some people don't agree with me on that. That's fine. You don't have to. We all have different views on things. But if this individual had not had a gun and he would have jumped on this Watson individual, he probably would have gotten stabbed as well, unless he was significantly bigger and was able to overpower him immediately. He probably would have gotten knifed as well, and then the guy would have run off and do whatever else he was going to do. So I'm honestly surprised he showed discretion and didn't discharge his firearm. I'm actually quite proud of him. That'd been a very difficult situation to not shoot this individual after you see him literally leaving a trail of bodies and knife wounds throughout the parking lot. So it did show great restraint on his point, and he was able to stop this individual and get him arrested without even discharging his firearm. So I'm very proud of him of that, Dad, and another perfect example of why you should always have a firearm with you.
Well, was Watson one of these guys that had been in and out of prison? Was he one of those recidivism maggots? Is that what he was?
I have not done the research on him yet. I just saw the article earlier. I highly, highly suspect that this individual has been arrested multiple times. Most people that go on a knifing spree and a robbing spree in public's parking lot in broad daylight, that is not their first rodeo. They don't just decide to wake up one morning at 44 years of age and say, I'm going to go knife people and try and steal from them in public's parking lot. More than likely was using some type of narcotic. More than likely, I'm speculating, but I can almost guarantee he has been arrested for that, or he was using that, and he more than likely had been arrested. I'll do some more research on it, but I'm sure if I pull his arrest record this week, I'll find out a whole rap sheet on him.
Well, you said that he kicked the guy's gun. He kicked Watson's gun away from him. Did he, like, do a side snap kick to do all this, or a side, you know,
a No, he got his knife
kick?
Away from him.
He took the knife away from him.
Yeah, he basically kicked the knife away from him and apparently was able to draw a gun on him. I think when they were on the ground, when he was on top of the other individual knifing the third individual, he was basically able to get the knife away from him and then drew down on him with a firearm while they were on the ground. And then at that point, he didn't move, and other people came in and basically helped subdue him.
Wow, the boy with the gun showed great restraint not shooting this guy. So, yeah, good story, Austin. I'm glad it worked that way. By the way, the FBI conducted a pre-dawn raid of former Trump's campaign chairman Manafort's home. Now, I want you to listen to what's going on here with this witch hunt we've got going on. The FBI agents raided the Alexandria home of President Trump's former campaign chairman late last month, using a search warrant to seize documents and other materials, according to people familiar with the special counsel investigating into the Russian meddling in the 2016 elections. Federal agents appeared at Manafort's home without advance warning and basically took her stuff, okay? The search warrant was wide-ranging. The FBI agents working with special counsel Robert Mueller, here we go, departed the home with various records. Now, Manafort has been voluntarily producing documents to congressional committees investigating his Russian interference, but of course, that wasn't enough. They wanted to make sure they seize everything in her home. It could have been intended to send a message to Trump, former campaign chairman, that he should not expect gentle treatment or legal courtesies from Mueller's team. It sounds like government harassment to me. Now, what's interesting, it says the documents included materials that he'd already provided to Congress. Now, it goes on to say in this article, which really irritates me, it says Mueller has increased legal pressure on Manafort, consolidating under his authority a series of unrelated investigations of the various aspects of Manafort's professional and personal life. And Manafort's allies fear, here it comes, that Mueller hopes to build a case against Manafort, here it comes, unrelated to the 26th campaign. Get ready, in hopes that the former campaign operative will provide information against others in Trump's inner circle in exchange for lessening his own legal exposure. There you go. There's your mm-hmm. bottom line right there. Now, the reason I brought this up is this. This is a witch hunt. And Mueller, basically doing stuff like this, he needs to be fired. The special counsel needs to get fired. Sessions needs to be fired. You know, this other general that we talked about, McMaster, if what is going on with him is true, he needs to be tried for treason. I mean, all of this stuff is trying to push Donald Trump the direction they want to push Donald Trump. For you who don't remember this, for those who are much younger than I am, back in the early 70s, we had the Watergate incident with Richard Nixon. in which this dragged on the TV for over a year. I remember this was crazy, like my senior year in high school, and we had all just grown weary of it because every time you turn the TV on, all they talked about was Watergate, 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 you know, with Nixon. And finally, you know, he gets and says, "I am not a crook," and he gets on the plane and he waves away and resigns, and that's the end of it. Now, here's the thing about all of this. I mean, they're trying everything they possibly can to force Trump to do what they want him to do. But then on the other hand, they don't control the entire government. There's parts of the military, there's parts of the CIA, there's parts of the Congress they don't control. And so there's this big battle that's going on right now in the White House and in Washington, D.C. right now between basically two different groups, the group that put Trump into office and the Satan group. Now, that's basically how it boils down. Now, are there people involved in Trump's group? Is he part of a huge network of Masonic lodges? Are they trying to also bring into their own level of Lucifer? Is that why he's brought in so many people from Goldman Sachs? Guys, I don't know. All I know is this. There's this giant fight between these two groups in the White House right now, and each group is trying to do something like have a one-up on the other group. What I don't understand with Sessions is this, or with Mueller. Hillary Clinton was clearly in violation of the law. She committed massive election fraud against Bernie Sanders. It's been proven, it's been admitted, it's been shown, it's been documented. Yet nobody has prosecuted her. Nobody has gone after her. It doesn't make any sense to me. But yet Obama, the gay Kenyan, says that Trump had nothing to do, the election had nothing to do with Russia. But yet they're still persecuting him, trying to prosecute him 6-8 months later of what happened back at the election back last fall, which is complete and total nonsense. So what we have right now, guys, and we're living to see this in our lifetime, we are literally on the verge of a coup d'etat in the United States to remove a sitting president outside the boundaries of law. That's what's going on right now. Now, I don't talk about this much on the show because you hear it from so many of the other talk show hosts, but guys, we need to continue to pray for Trump. Because I know these pastors, four of them that are in there with him praying. I've got those guys. I know who they are, and they're real. These guys can pray. They're being led by the Holy Spirit, and particularly one of them, and one of them, Rodney Howard Brown, he's a very, very good friend of mine. I'm literally in contact with him daily. He gave me the information, which I broke the information four weeks ago now in the White House. This story, our show broke the whole information on somebody trying to take Trump out from the White House directly from Rodney after he met with the Congress guy. So we've got to continue to pray with all of our hearts, and we pray on a daily basis for Trump, that he is convicted through the Holy Spirit and that he does what's right in God's eyes, in Yahweh's eyes, in Yeshua's eyes, and he's led by the Holy Spirit and not by Satan's group. Remember, when my pastor friends walked into the White House a month ago, he said, "Here comes the real power, the power of God." And guys, this is what we have to understand. You never heard Hillary Clinton ever say anything like that. She liked to go to soul cooking parties and drink blood and other weird things. And remember, you know, Nichols said that she used to go to her witch's coven every 6 weeks in Washington, you know, out in L.A. And he wasn't making that up. He said, "I don't know what she did while she was at the witch's coven, but she was like in a witch's coven, and she went out to L.A. every 6 weeks to make sure she attended the witch's coven." And she also said in one of her emails, which was released last year with WikiLeaks, that it was time to basically get the rabbit's foot out and to get a chicken out and sacrifice the chicken to Moloch in the backyard. Now, who in the world talks like that? What nutbags talk like that? You don't hear Trump talk like that. So there's a problem right now. The group of globalists had almost taken over the United States. And it's almost like God just reached down and said, "No, not just yet. I've got enough of my boys and girls out here praying for me and praying for Trump and praying for the country right now. I'm going to give them a reprieve." And guys, we have this chance still. Like I said, I never got off the Trump train. I was getting off at the station. He's done some good things now. The problem is all of these stinking appointees from Goldman Sachs and all of these guys who want to continue to force and do more and more immunizations on everybody. Guys, this isn't okay. It's almost like this house is divided against itself in Washington. That Trump knows what to do because he's got the Christians in there with him, but he's got all the satanic group, these Sabbatean cabals from Goldman Sachs, and he's trying to swim with these sharks and not get eaten alive. So it's been an interesting thing watching him dance through the tulips for the last 6 months and try to stay alive, Austin. So we got to continue to pray for him and just realize that, guys, this is a lot better than Hillary would have been, because it would have been just bestiality and sex with children were her two big things she wanted to push through. And I'm so glad that the witch of Benghazi the wicked witch of Benghazi didn't get into the White House, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. It's definitely a blessing that she didn't get in there. So we just have to continue to pray and continue to monitor it and see how everything goes. Also, too, this is a health article I wanted to touch base on today. I get a lot of emails on multiple sclerosis, MS, and it's something I wanted to address because I saw a new study that got published in a journal that revealed now that resistance training actually proves to be beneficial for patients with multiple sclerosis. As you guys know, most of the time when people have MS, people with that condition are discouraged from engaging in any sort of physical exercise for fear that they're going to basically worsen the disease and, you know, because it's painful and it's going to cause more issues. However, the recent findings demonstrated that exercise did the exact opposite and may actually relieve many symptoms associated with the disease. And this is what I've told people for years, because when I've talked to people that have had MS, you know, I'll give them a supplement protocol and I'll say, you also need to make sure you drink enough water, taking the proper supplements that I'm about to give you, and you need to make sure you're at least exercising a couple times a week. Now, I don't mean you have to be going in the gym, doing bench press, doing squats, but doing basic things like water aerobics or wall squats or planking or, you know, just push-ups, basic exercises that you can get exercise doing. And it really helps to do this. As part of the study, the researchers examined 35 MS patients for 6 months. Half the patients were instructed to engage in different types of resistance training, while the other half were told to live their lives as usual and do not exercise at all. The patients underwent brain scans before and after the sixth period. The researchers found that the patients who underwent resistance training had much less apparent brain shrinkage compared with the controls. They also said that physical exercise did not harm the people with MS whatsoever, but instead it had a positive impact on them. Their levels of fatigue, their muscle strength, and their aerobic activity all went up. And the fact that the physical training also seemed to have a protective effect on the brain in people with MS is new and important knowledge, they said. Now, as far as with supplements, I get this question a lot on emails, and I'm going to give you guys the basic supplements I recommend for this. If you have MS or your family has MS, somebody's got that. The first thing is turmeric. That's a huge anti-inflammatory. The next one is the cortisol buster. Really helps to reduce inflammation as well. Also has ashwagandha in it. Very good for that. Cod liver oil, that's always a staple. The ultimate multiple, that's always a staple. The excellent C and the D3, those are always some, you guys know me, those are basic supplements that we always start everybody out on, but they're very important. The CoQ10 is also very good. And the magnesium, topical and oral. So doing the magnesium rubs and the oil and the salts like we talked about yesterday, and taking in the magnesium capsules or the magnesium powder on a daily basis. That protocol right there with a good, healthy, non-inflammatory diet, such as cutting out bread, sugar, all those heavy inflammation foods, and adding it in with some good exercise and a large amount of distilled purified water, that right there, I've seen numerous times, can alleviate a large amount of the symptoms with MS instead of just taking a lot of the medications that they want to put you on and tell you not to exercise because it's going to hurt anything. That's a true formula right there that I just gave you guys, that in most cases when people have followed it, I've seen them get very, very good results, and now I'm glad that they finally done a research study that shows that exercise is beneficial if you have MS, instead of telling people to be sedative and not doing anything, Dad.
Well, no, and it's one of those, the demyelination of the nerve fibers. I mean, that's one of those things that a lot of that happens when you're young. If you don't get enough vitamin D3, you simply can't build enough nerve fiber around the fat, the myelin sheath, if you don't have adequate amounts of D. That's why MS is one of those diseases that hits a lot of the northern states a lot more than the southern states. So with the loss of the sunshine because of chemtrails, it's really, really important that we all understand that children need to be on a good diet, at least get a good vitamin D supplement on a regular basis, especially while their nerves are forming. When that myelin basically stops being produced properly around that nerve, you'll see the little children when they walk around like Hunter Austin, your little boy. He's like 15, 16 months old now. When he was young, he had really twitchy movements all the time. He's always shaking his hands, always twitching. That's normal for little children because they don't have full myelin development around the nerves yet. And so what you're doing is you're basically sending a nerve signal through the nerve system of the body, and it's shorting out because it's not basically insulated properly. That's what causes all those jerky motions. And what ends up happening is when you have the ability to get enough vitamin D3, in most cases, that'll stop the onset and prevent that from ever happening to you on vitamin D3. By the way, I want to read you one more quote here with McMaster's, and I'm going to step away from this. This is a quote from Roger Stone, and it's also a quote from the Israelis. Now, I've already qualified that for you. Now, I'm going to read this quote to you anyhow. And here's why I'm saying take this with a grain of salt. We know that the Israeli government is a puppet of the Rothschild banking cartel. We've got that. We know they lie continually through Mossad. That's what they do. Now, they may have given bad information to Roger Stone, knowing that he would report it on InfoWars about McMaster's because of their hatred towards Iran. But this is what Roger Stone says, quote, "I have confirmed from sources from inside the White House, the Israeli government and Israeli intelligence, that the Israelis have intercepted email communications from General McMaster's to George Soros, informing him of everything that's going on inside the White House," reported InfoWars correspondent Roger Stone. Now, here's what I'm going to say about this. Number one, with WikiLeaks and all of these people that have been busted because of emails, I give this story about an 80% chance of being bogus. And here's why. McMaster's is, you know, the national, the chairman here for telling Trump what's going on. He already knows what WikiLeaks done. Quite frankly, if I was him and I was going to contact George Soros, if I was an agent to do this, I would go down the street and I'd buy me a portable throwaway telephone from Walmart, and I would basically call him up in a non-disclosed location, and I would throw the phone into the doggone furnace after I got done with it. That's how I would do it. Do you really think I'd send an email that could be tracked through Israeli intelligence that I contacted George Soros? I don't think so. McMaster's is a three-star general. He's a lieutenant general. I think he's a lot smarter than that, Austin. So that story, and the reason I read it to you, because it's been making the rounds, because it got reported on InfoWars, I don't buy that story. I'd give it 70-80% chance of being a planted story by the Mossad. For some reason, they really want McMaster's out. They actually consider him to be anti-Semitic in some of the articles that I've read because of his pro-Iran stance. So I don't know. There's some really weird stuff going on, but I just want to let you guys know that I don't agree with that story. At least I think it's 70-80% probability of being bogus. What do you think, son?
Yeah, you're pretty accurate on that. And same thing I thought, too. The problem is when you start seeing a lot of this stuff and you start seeing them push this, and this is just the honest truth. Anytime you see pretty much anybody in upper ranks of the government, of the military, media, and they start any type of non-pro-Jewish speech, which means they don't completely 100% support Israel just blindly about anything, if Israel wants to bomb somebody, they don't blindly just go along with it. The media always tries to eviscerate them. Almost every single time I have seen this happen, as soon as somebody says something about the Jews or says something about Israel, they immediately are eviscerated. It happens. I don't know why. I don't have any Jewish descent. I don't have anything against them at all. But I do know that I'm not pro-Israel to the stance of they can do no harm. They can bomb anybody they want to. They can send out spies and basically overthrow governments like the United States does, the same way we do, which I don't support as well. And we're not supposed to support that. That is not Christian behavior whatsoever. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, Dad. But anytime I see somebody when they don't automatically stand behind Israel and support every single thing they do, they immediately start getting eviscerated by the media. So you're absolutely right. When I start seeing this right here, it seems to me like they're trying to put out some fake news against him to try and get him out of there because the globalists don't like his stance on a few different things. But that's just my take.
I agree with you. And by the way, here's an interesting article that came in by a guy by the name of Schneider. And it says, why rebels, like people who go against the status quo, are so important to society. And it's a really good article. I read through it, and I agree with most of the premises it says, because it says the rebels are generally well-meaning and intelligent, besides being very passionate, compassionate, and determined individuals. In addition, they have a great potential to explore and lead others through uncharted waters. It can be exciting to be around colorful characters like rebels. They are original thinkers and show courage in the face of overwhelming opposition. The enthusiasm of a rebel is admirable, whether or not you agree with their convictions. And I wanted to just kind of say that for a second, and here's why. You know, Austin and I are pretty much, you know, rebels as far as the status quo. You know, I learned a long time ago that even a dead fish can float downstream. All right, I got that one figured out. You know, that was one of the quotes that I always used. And I learned something. When you see something is wrong and you know something is wrong, why are you going to sit back and say, I'm okay with that? That's like I just told you this whole thing with McMaster's and all the stuff they're saying that he's done now in direct emails to Soros. I don't believe that. I don't believe the story. I really don't. I mean, I'm giving it 20%, maybe accurate, but I don't believe it. If you had to say, would you say yes or no? Do you believe this? Yes or no? I'd say no. And here's why. Because this guy's not that stupid. He knows they're getting hacked. All the emails are getting hacked. And he knows the Mossad's hacking a lot of this stuff. And I mean, think about this for a second. Think about it for a second. Why does Israel have the communique coming from the White House? Just a thought. Israel has received confirmation that he has, and they've intercepted an email going to George Soros. What the heck is it going through Israel for to start with? Why isn't anybody asking that question? Why does Israel have that information? I mean, there's a problem right there that nobody's bothering to look at. I mean, why are they releasing? They have received confirmation that he is doing this. Well, that means obviously they're spying on everything coming out of White House and everything coming out. And so they could release any information they wanted to. It's kind of like back when Christopher Columbus, you know, was going to go to the New World, and they told him that he'd fall off the edge of the planet and basically could never make it to the New World. He said, no, I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to go give it a shot. I mean, you've got to have people like Tesla and Columbus and, you know, and talk shows like we have now on the internet that are alternative, that are questioning the status quo. See, I wasn't always like this. When I went to college, I kind of fell into that beat of like, okay, my professors are right. Okay, they're telling me the truth. But every once in a while, I'd get a glimpse of a professor that actually was pretty good. And he'd question a few things, you know, like this theory of evolution and things like that. I've told you that story before. And, of course, the following semester he gets terminated. But I'd get a professor that would throw a few things out there like, well, maybe Darwin was wrong. Maybe that's not possible. Maybe the genetic domain that we live in, our DNA, is so complicated we'd never have evolved. And I didn't know the guy was getting fired. We got fired the following semester from Florida State. So we got all of this stuff going on, and you see, well, maybe if you give these kids these shots, you're going to give them autism. Okay, well, maybe not all of them, but maybe some of them. Well, how about 1 in 40? How about all these kids with autism? Okay, well, that makes you a vaccine denier. No, that makes me question whether or not vaccines are causing autism, and that we need more research into all of this junk to find out what's poisoning our children. How about that? How about these tricyclic antidepressants and these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which cause children to commit suicide? Now, they don't cause children to be depressed. They cause children, many of them, to commit suicide, and that's why they have a black box warning. So just maybe, we shouldn't give children antidepressant medication. Maybe we should give them cod liver oil and methylated B vitamins and let their brain work and take their stupid cell phones away from them and have them learn how to do group interaction without having to lay in their bed all night and you either watch porn or be on Snapchat. Maybe we need to do some of that. maybe we need to take a look at the fact that statin drugs cause your arteries to calcify, which is proven now statistically. I mean, we've got studies to prove that. That statin drugs cause kidney damage, and statin drugs cause liver damage, and statin drugs cause your brain to go to mush, and statin drugs do all kinds of things. We're linked to like multiple diseases, including cancer. Maybe we need to say, well, just maybe we need to be rebellious enough to say, you know what, I don't think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to pass on the statin drugs. I'm going to drink some more water and take some cod liver oil and take some vitamin E. And if I have to, I'll take some sustained-release niacin, and I'll be cool. I'll get my cholesterol down at a good healthy level around 200 to 250, and I'm good. Maybe I don't have to believe my cholesterol needs to be around 100. How about that? How about we ask the doctor a question? The other day, let me give you a perfect example. I've got a good friend of mine who's a pastor. I'm not going to mention any names. His wife's also a pastor. Not going to mention any names. And they were on our health program for years and years and years, doing great, 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 great. Well, then they decided to go to a age reversal specialist in their hometown. And this guy had been recommended by a bunch of other people. This is a medical doctor, and he specializes in reversing the aging process by restoring the hormone balance in the body. In other words, he dumps the guys on a bunch of testosterone, dumps the women on a bunch of progesterone, a bunch of other hormones, and he tries to stabilize their body chemistry the way it was when they're 40 years old to optimize all this. Maybe he wants to do that. And so I talk to my friends, and all of a sudden the lady calls me back, the pastor lady calls me back and says, I don't know what to do. I'm having severe heart palpitations. My heart's racing, then it's slowing down, then it's stopping, then it's skipping beats. I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, okay, let's do some research on that. And then I find out that my buddy, the other pastor, whose dad died of cancer, and this pastor has serious problems with his prostate gland already, that he's also been placed on testosterone, which is one of the primary causes of prostate cancer when you put people on hormone prevention or hormone, you start giving them additional hormones, it's hormone therapy. And so here I am. So I called him back and I said, you know, guys, you know, you kind of need to figure out who you want to listen to. When you guys are on my program, you're doing great, you're feeling great, you're looking great, you got tremendous energy. And now you go on this guy's program, he wants to mess with your hormones, he wants to mess with your endocrine system, he wants to play God, in other words, and he wants to put you in a perpetual pregnancy phase with additional so much progesterone, your body thinks it's pregnant, so you stop your body, so you stop cycling. Now she's only in her 40s, she's not even going through menopause yet, but he wants to stop all that. And my buddy, whose dad died of cancer, already has prostate issues, he wants to throw him a huge testosterone supplement, just, you know, some patches or injections. So maybe that's not okay. Maybe now she's got heart problems, and maybe now my buddy, whose dad died of cancer in his 50s, he's going to massively increase his risk of cancer. See, this is the stuff you got to ask your doctors. And see, when you get a prescription drug from the doctor, and you ask him, can you please tell me what this stuff does? And he goes, I don't have time. You know, you talk to the pharmacy guy. Okay, all right. So you go to the pharmacy guy, and you go, I don't know what this stuff does. Can you give me a list of the physician's desk reference of the pros and cons of this drug and the side effects and the potential side effects? Please print it for me so I can read it, and please take it out of the PDR so I don't get an abbreviated version. Yeah, he will. He will. He will actually go over, take his PDR, he'll photocopy it and give you copies of it, and you can say to him, can you do me a favor now? Can you go over the adverse conditions? So they tell you basically that you've got a mosquito bite, and they say you've got to have antibiotics for the mosquito bite. You go, okay. Well, then you find out the antibiotics cause this whole plethora of things which are much worse than the mosquito bite. And you think, well, maybe I don't want to try that. Maybe I should let it heal by itself. See, these are the things that you need to be rebellious about. You need to be rebellious about. Now, when it comes to God's word, and God says, hey, guys, it's better if you don't eat pork. If you eat pork, you have all these long and lingering diseases and these wasting diseases. And, you know, you need to choose life and not choose death. You know, if you do what I tell you to do, you're basically going to have a really good life here and a really good time on this planet. If you don't, it's going to kind of be the pits. Now, I'm paraphrasing. That's basically a paraphrase according to Brewer. And that's basically what he says in the book of Deuteronomy. He says, well, maybe I don't need to rebel against that. Ah, there you go. Maybe you don't need to rebel against the word of the Lord. Okay, that's it. That's good. That's good. And then he says, hey, by the way, I don't really like those tattoos either. Those tattoos are kind of yuck because it's these graven images you're putting on your skin, and these Amalekites and these other guys like to do these tattoos on their skin. So why don't you guys just not do the tattoos? And you go, okay, I don't have to be rebel. I don't have to be rebel about that. I'm okay with that too. See, and now if you've already got tattoos and you didn't know about that scripture, you don't think it's a big deal, that's between you and God. I'm not going to be in some judging mode with you guys because I'm not, because it's one of those things that are difficult to get rid of. I'm just picking this. Maybe you should say when your friend comes up to you and, hey, everybody's doing just, you know, meth tonight. Why don't you come over and we're all going to hit the meth thing and we're going to teach you how to use meth and coke and we're going to show you how to use these drugs. Why don't the answer just say, how about no? I'm going to rebel against you on that. How about no? See, what we have to understand something, guys, is this. We need rebels. But we need rebels that are going to stand firm in the word of God, stand firm in what the truth is and what we know the word is, but say no to this government-imposed tyranny of, we're going to force immunizations on you, we're going to force immunizations on your children, we're going to give you all of these drugs and we're going to push them through to you on the TV sets and put you into an alpha-theta brainwave state, which you believe the lie of this thing we're telling you so we can deal in this pharmakia with you and we can poison you with the drugs. How about, no, I don't want that. No, no, and no again. We're going to put you on hormone replacement therapy. Well, what will it do? Will it increase my risk of cancer? I don't know. I'm not talking about that. Well, what about this? The same doctor did the blood test on this pastor friend of mine, and this pastor's blood was loaded with phenylalanine, which in high concentration causes permanent nerve and brain damage in anybody. Okay, it's one of the principal components of aspartame. It's 40% of aspartame is phenylalanine. Well, it turns out that my pastor buddy had stopped listening to me and started hammering Red Bull diet with phenylalanine with aspartame in it, had massively elevated his phenylalanine levels, and this doctor who was all-knowing with all wisdom playing God who wants to regulate hormones of people who don't need hormones regulated doesn't even ask him if he's drinking diet sodas, has no idea where the phenylalanine came from. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I listened to the recording of the meeting. My pastor friend asked the doctor if he could record the meeting so I could hear it, and I heard the entire meeting. None of the stuff that I said he didn't discuss was discussed. I'm telling you, I heard the entire doctor's appointment, the meeting. He never mentioned aspartame. How would he not know that if he's supposed to be God now, basically putting people on hormones, telling them how to stay young the rest of their lives? Guys, here's the thing. If you're 50 years old, you don't need to be on hormone replacement therapy. There's too many natural things that you can do to correct those hormones. If you're in your 40s and you haven't even gone through menopause yet, you sure don't have to be induced to be pregnant for the rest of your life. It's not okay for that. Your body's not designed for that, because one of the side effects, by the way, was, and he should have known this, was heart arrhythmia, irregular heartbeats. And so I had to send all of this research that I pulled up on all of this stuff, and I had to send it to my friends and say, this is why I told you not to do this. This is why. So you have to make a choice. Do you want to listen to Mr. Quack? That's what I consider this guy to be. Or to somebody who's been around for a long, long time, who's 60, almost 62 years old in November, and I kind of got it figured out as far as hormones and staying in good shape and keeping your testosterone up. So you've got to pick which one you want to do. See, and that's the problem, Austin. We hear the siren song of these people who peddle this crap like immunizations and fluoride and chlorine and statin drugs, and tricyclic antidepressants, and we never say, wait a minute, why are so many people so sick in the United States if we're spending so much money on health care? Why is everybody obese? Is that okay? No, it's not okay. And that's what we have to understand. So we need rebels. We need people that are going to say, no, I'm not going to sign up for this crap. You're not putting me on statin drugs. What's the other alternative? And if they don't know another alternative, find another doctor. That's the point I'm trying to make to you with this big little diatribe, little lecture, this little pontification that I'm giving you today, is this. When it's time to say no, just say no. Even a dead fish can float downstream. Austin, what do you think?
That was very articulate and very well put. There's no question about it. I mean, there's a lot of now, and that's the thing that I always say to everybody on the phone and the emails. Always try the natural approach first. If it doesn't work and you can't get it to go right, then, you know, there's always that pharmaceutical background if you want to go that route. But don't sit there and go to that as your first-hand point, or because, you know, you just want to start trying that out because you don't want to do anything naturally and you don't want to change your diet or you don't want to take any natural supplements. That's not a good place to be in. And speaking of the healthcare system as well, you know, a lot of people try and brag about Canada and UK and how they basically have this free healthcare system, and the two countries basically have been pretty much been like the pinnacle of free healthcare, making it available to every citizen. These countries basically have promised easy access to treatment at no charge. And now a new report just came out this week from the conservative think tank, the Fraser Institute, has just revealed, however, that the healthcare system in Canada is completely imploding and that treatment is anything but free. The situation is identical in the UK. It's pretty much Canada is just a branch of the UK. The Daily Caller reported that a typical Canadian family of four with an annual income of around $120,000 a year will pay around $12,000 a year for health care each year indirectly from being taxed on it. This is what nobody gets about the whole thing with the Obamacare. It's not free. Somebody's paying for it. Nothing is free. Nobody gives you anything for free. There, at some point in time, somewhere down the road, somebody is paying for this system. That's what drives me nuts about the liberal leftists that always want to sit there and say, well, we just need to have this socialist agenda. We just need to have free health care. We have free tuition for everybody. Who pays for the professors? Who pays for the books? Who pays for the upkeep of the universities? Who pays for the maintenance of the hospitals? Who pays for the supplies? Who pays for the morphine? Who pays for all the electricity to keep the place running? Who pays for all this? It doesn't just grow on trees. Well, I guess the Federal Reserve, you could say they just print money out of nothing. But in reality, stuff still isn't free. And they went on to say here, they said you might even think $12,000 a year for four people is acceptable for comprehensive medical treatment, but that's only a quarter of the story. The reality is many of the procedures are totally excluded, and if you want something additional, you have to pay more for it. And Canadians must provide their own dental care, own eye care, own exams as far as for anything to do with eyes and glasses, and a host of other treatments involving those things. shortage of healthcare providers as well now in Canada means Canadian families are sometimes waiting years to be accepted by a family practitioner. And as the caller noted, those who need either routine or urgent surgery sometimes have to wait their turn on a very long list for sometimes months at a time before they can even get in there. So this whole free healthcare that they're actually being taxed roughly $12,000 a year ends up being a very crappy healthcare system that's not working very effectively at all, and it's getting worse and it's imploding on itself up there because free systems like this with a socialist basis do not work, Dad. But I thought that was interesting because so many people try to use the Canada as such an analogy. Well, they have free healthcare and it works great for them. No, it doesn't. Start looking at the numbers. Start seeing what type of real healthcare they actually have up there, and start seeing all the unbelievably unconstitutional taxes that they get stripped out of their money every single month, including the tens of thousands of dollars a year in taxes they get pulled out to pay for the free health care.
Well, I've got a friend of mine right now who has a bad knee, and they need knee surgery, and they've been told that they're on the waiting list. It'll be 18 months to 2 years. I mean, the person can't even walk properly. 18 months to 2 years. Now, Zig Ziglar, my good friend, may he rest in peace. My gosh, he was a great guy. I urge you guys to listen to his YouTube videos and Jim Rohn's YouTube videos. Ziglar said something that was very interesting. He told an old story of an old king, and the king wanted to know what the wisdom of the ages was. And so he had his scholars and all of his people get together, and he goes, I want to know the wisdom of the ages. So they brought him 10 sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica, in their own version. Of course, not the Encyclopedia Britannica because this was thousands of years ago. But this huge, all these books and books and books and books. And they said, Your Majesty, this is truly the wisdom of the ages. This is the absolute summary of all that we know and knowledge. He goes, look, dude, he goes, this is ridiculous. He goes, you gave me 100 novels here to read. I'm not going to read this. I want you to condense this down to much less. So they come back and they have one big 10,000-page book. And they go, we've got the wisdom now down to 10,000 pages. He goes, you guys are Looney Tunes. I got too many things that I'm doing. We got to cut this back. So they bring him back a 1,000-page book. He goes, too much. Bring him back a 500-page book. Too much. Bring him back a 100-page book. He goes, nah, too much. I'm not going to read 100 pages. I want to know what the wisdom of the ages really, really is. So then finally they bring him back like a 10-page report. He goes, nah, too much. I want it concise. So finally they bring him back one sentence and said, Your Majesty, this is the wisdom of the ages. And he picked up the paper, he looked at it, and he goes, that truly is the wisdom of the ages. And what the one sentence said, Austin, was this: there ain't no free lunch. It doesn't work that way. There ain't no free lunch, to use Ziglar's vernacular. And I laughed when I heard that. I thought to myself, wait a minute, you're right. I mean, somebody's paying for something somewhere, and there's not a free lunch. Now, one more thing to give you a little lighthearted story here. A funeral home has been fined for reusing caskets. Now, you think, how in the world? Well, they've got these folks now who want to be cremated, but they want to have some type of decent funeral before they're cremated. So they're supposed to change out the liners in the caskets, and I have no idea why. And this Tennessee funeral home director in Memphis was trying to find more than $3,000 because he reused the casket without reupholstering the casket after they were rented, and they said he used the casket like 20 times. Now, here's the problem I've got with this, okay? If the casket's got a dirty liner in it or whatever, okay, I got that. The person's dead, okay? They're not going to get an infectious disease. Nothing's going to happen to them, okay? Don't get me wrong. If he's told you you're getting a new liner in the casket and you paid for that, I got it, all right? How about he says, the liners are $500. Do you want to use the old liner or you want to use a new liner? We're not going to give you a dirty liner. You can't tell the difference. Okay, but now they're trying to find this guy because he didn't change the liner out for the funerals, who the bodies were then taken out, of course, and cremated, and they weren't, quote-unquote, up to some type of standard. I have no idea. And again, this is where government gets in and gets involved in all of this. The funeral home director should have done what he told people he was going to do. And if it is a law that he's got to change out the liner, he should have changed out the liner. But guys, do we really need laws on stuff like this? I mean, we used to have laws on the books like you can't go downtown without a shirt on. all this kind of crazy stuff. I mean, do we really need laws like this on the books? Don't we need to get rid of a bunch of these laws before we keep adding more and more laws, Austin? What do you think, bud?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's always that the aspect of big government that always starts to get in the way is they start to make more and more laws. And essentially what it always comes down to is more and more control, more and more money as far as taxation, and more oversight as far as on what they can do and what they can and can't do. I remember there was a quote from Ayn Rand years and years and years ago. I remember it. And what it said in a nutshell is basically the only power a government has is to fine and crack down on criminals, which is pretty much what they can do, because technically they can't crack down and fine law-abiding citizens, even though Congress tried to do that with Obamacare. But back to the quote, it went on to say, well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it literally becomes impossible for a man to live without breaking laws. And that was a very, very accurate statement she made. There's a lot of, she's said a lot of other good quotes, but it's very true. That's where we're starting to find ourselves now, where there's no rule of law from the government. They simply just make a new law, they make a new statute, and if you don't like it, doesn't matter. If you break it, they either fine you or take you to jail or throw you in prison. And this is what we're continuing to see right now. This is why it was supposed to be a government by the people, for the people. That was the only way it was supposed to be designed to go, because any other way turns into a tyrannical government where the government dictates what the citizens have to do. And if the citizens don't abide immediately by the law that is given down to them without any type of vote, then they're basically fined or thrown in jail. So it's definitely pretty wild. Now, one last story down here in Florida, Miami-Dade County, which is got a lot of illegal immigration. We live here in Florida. We know Miami-Dade County is about 4 hours south from us. They now, the Department of Justice has now declared that Miami-Dade County is in total compliance with the federal government as far as not allowing sanctuary cities for illegal aliens. This is huge for the state of Florida, because we have a very serious problem with that, with immigration in South Florida. The Department of Justice has informed Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Gimenez that Miami-Dade County is in total compliance with federal immigration laws and thus is eligible for $480,000 in grant funding for operations in the county. They said, in fact, following President Donald Trump's election, Gimenez reversed a 2013 county policy and ordered jails to fully comply with federal law by cooperating with federal immigration officers in the cases of detaining illegal aliens facing deportation proceedings. It was one of the first things that Trump did, which was very, very good, is that their hands are not tied. They're not allowing these guys to come in here and literally, and this is what it is, the term sanctuary city, if you guys haven't heard me already refer to that, there's literally cities all over the country where if illegal immigrants come in there, law enforcement will not comply with immigration officials, and in some cases they actually block them and bar them from doing any type of investigation or detaining or trying to deport any of these individuals. They actually help the illegal aliens stay in these countries or stay in these counties and stay in these cities to do absolutely nothing. Miami-Dade is the only large jurisdiction so far that has been known to make this change completely. In contrast to Miami-Dade, former Obama chief of staff and now mayor of Chicago, surprise, surprise, Rahm Emanuel, announced on Sunday that the city of Chicago is now suing the federal government for the federal government trying to enforce immigration laws. This is where the hives in, where I was just talking about a second ago, with laws that are on the books that are good, laws that are on the books that are bad. When you have laws that are on the books that try and protect the citizens from mass illegal immigration and try to help law enforcement and immigration officials to do their job to keep a lot of this riffraff out, it's very important that they are allowed to do so. We just had up in Long Island, New York, if you guys saw about this now, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, just arrested 32 criminal aliens that were already previously convicted of sex crimes in the sanctuary jurisdiction of Long Island, New York. They rounded up 32 criminal aliens previously convicted of sex crimes, including sexual abuse, sexual assault on a child, rape, child endangerment, and a host of other things I'm not even going to talk about. and the previously convicted are reported to have illegally entered the U.S. from the Dominican Republic, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Haiti, Mexico, Peru, Trinidad, and Tobago, according to the information obtained by Breitbart Texas from the U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement officials. It looks like all these guys now are all going to be deported immediately. So I'm glad they got these guys off the street. They've already been arrested. It shows the rap sheet in this article. I'm not going to go into it, of all the stuff these guys have been arrested before in the past, and it's insanity. Some of the stuff is absolutely ridiculous. I've never even heard of charges like this before on how far-fetched and how sick some of these guys are. So, yes, I'm glad Miami-Dade is no longer a sanctuary city. I wish a lot of the other cities would do that around the country, Dad. There's absolutely no reason to support that type of behavior.
Absolutely correct. And by the way, one final story from me. Armstrong Economics says that Obamacare is officially destroying the economy and has reached 60% of total retail sales. The retail sector has been stagnant, and most people are blaming Amazon. A closer look is rather than the typical surface. It says, today online sales represent only 8.5% of total retail sales. Amazon comes in at $80 billion in sales, but this amounts to only 1.5% of the total U.S. retail sales. Since 2016, total retail sales are about $5.5 trillion, while healthcare cost to the public is now $3.3 trillion, or 60% of total retail sales now is just healthcare. And he says this is why the economy is collapsing as far as retail sector, because all of these people are being fined with this Obamacare, and the cost of their healthcare has gone through the roof, because now they're paying $300, $400, $500, $600 a month in premiums with $5,000 and $10,000 deductibles, and all of this money's coming out of discretionary income, which goes into retail sales. Yep. Now Obamacare and the medical care thing is 60% of total retail sales in the United States, and that's why he says John McCain has basically crippled the economy and crippled the country by not allowing Obamacare to be repealed. Guys, thank you for listening to the show. I love you guys. Good show today. I've enjoyed this one. I enjoy all my shows, but sometimes they're better than others. This is one of those good ones. So hope you've enjoyed it. God bless you. I love you. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins and your supplements from us. Thanks for allowing us to be here. Thanks for being part of our family. I appreciate you guys. Austin, I'll write the summary. Go ahead and close, buddy. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate everything. Thank you for all the support, and thank you for the emails. Trying to get through and answer a lot of them today. We definitely got a lot of them over last weekend. And be sure, guys, make sure you're keeping everybody healthy in the family. School's starting back down here in Florida, and I know it's starting back all over the country in a couple of weeks. So be sure to make sure the whole family stocked up on D and vitamin C. Also, too, if you want to check out product of the week, it switched over today. The chelation therapy was the product that won. That product basically helps to detoxify the system and helps pull heavy metals out of the body and can also help clean out the arteries. So it's a really good product for that. It's on sale over 10% off on the website at healthmasters.com. And be sure to check out the other products that are on the list, too, to vote for. If you guys need anything, email us, healthmasters.com, or call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.